Oh, that's so funny. Okay, well, good morning. We're in the middle of a series called The Good News, where we're looking at the gospel message from a handful of different angles and trying to figure out maybe why some people hear it and others don't. This morning's question is maybe one that you've asked a lot. Maybe it's one that you have asked once, solved it, and then that was it. But I think most of us have struggled with this question at least a little bit once, whether it's for ourselves or it's for somebody else. And here's the question. The question is, do I matter? I don't know if you've ever had that feeling, just whether it's at home or maybe at work, maybe you're having an existential moment and you're sitting and going, I'm not sure where I fit in this whole world. I don't know what that looks like. But I would bet that there are at least a handful of people here this morning that have been asking this question of themselves a lot. Do I matter? Am I making a difference? Am I significant to the people around me? And if you're honest with yourself, there are at least a few people this morning that would answer, no, I don't think that I am. And there's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of reasons why people look at a question like that, whether it's big or small, and can say, yeah, I feel like I do. But also a lot of reasons why people look and go, you know, I just feel like I don't. I feel a little invisible. I feel like the impact that I'm making isn't significant. I don't think it matters that much. And one of the things that influences this is that everybody has a different life experience. Everybody here this morning has a different life experience. We've talked about this a couple of times, and the things that you have experienced in your life frame how you answer questions like this. For me, this sermon, as I'm working through this series, was actually a little bit harder for me to put together because as I have been a little bit more relatable or empathetic to the first two, this isn't necessarily a question that I personally have struggled with too much in my life. Some of you know a bit of the backstory of me. One of the big things that I think happens in any kid's life, if it happens, is that when I was four, my parents got divorced. And through that process, both parents wanted me to end up living with them. I ended up living with my dad. And then I didn't become a person who was just like, okay, the parent who wanted the kid got the kid, and that was the prize. That was the end of it. What that was for me as a person was the beginning of a journey of a parent or parents who taught me and showed me that I actually mattered. They were willing to rearrange their schedules or their finances. They spent extra time talking to me about the things that I needed to know. I was brought to church and taught about the truths of Christ and the things that I needed to know and how that impacted me. I was an only child till I was 10, which might explain some things for some of you. And then at 10, I became a big brother to, so that my siblings are 10, 11, and 14 years younger than me. But even through that process, I was never treated like I was on the outside. It was always a huge part of my life. And again, single kid syndrome or whatever you want to, only child, whatever you want to call it. I was the center of a lot of people's orbit. And in every once in a while, I still like to think I am, and then I'm reminded that I'm not. It's never really a struggle that I've had throughout my whole life. People have just sort of built into me in that way. And because of that, I've been able to answer that question through my experience, because experiences, expectations, attitudes, and stories, what they do, what those things do together combined throughout our life, they inform our thoughts and our actions, the way we think about things and then the way we act upon them. My upbringing and the way that I was brought up impacted the way I thought about myself and my impact in the world around me and then what I did about it. And a fancy word that we've been using for this is worldview. Your experiences, your expectations, your attitudes, and your stories, what they do is they inform your worldview. And what your worldview does is it informs how you hear everything. So last week we talked about how certain parts of my life informed my worldview, and this week It's the same, right? Because of my upbringing, because of the way that happened for me, it informed the way I heard things when people said them to me. There are a lot of people that they get a compliment. They're like, hey, you're doing great. You're making a difference here. It really matters that you're around. And because of some people's upbringing or maybe an experience that they had at school or at home or whatever, there's a lot of people that just can't believe that because your worldview shapes the way that you hear everything that's told to you, which means, and that's what we've been focusing on in this series, your worldview informs how you hear the good news, the gospel message, that thing that we always talk about in church, how Christ came down and paid for our sin and made a way for us to go to heaven. This message that God created us intentionally, put a world together for us to live in that was perfect. And then when we ran away from what that world was supposed to be, he made a way back to be in relationship with us in a way that we couldn't do on our own. That's the good news. But depending on your worldview and how you've grown up, you know, maybe you hear that differently. And we've said this a couple times before. If you want the good news to sound like good news, you need to know why it's good news for everybody. And last week we said in 1 Peter, it says, in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reasons for your hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The concept that we should be able to share this good news with everybody. But sometimes, because of people's experiences, they just hear it differently. And so there's this book by W. Paul Jones, and what it does is it goes through these five theological worldviews, five ways that we can view or hear about God or talk about God. That's really what theology means. It's just about, it means God talk. When we say the word theology, we're just talking about God and all of the things that surround that conversation. And so there's five theological worldviews, and we've gone through two of them already, separation and reunion, this idea that sometimes we feel like an orphan, and what we really need is to feel like we have a home. We know who we are, but we just don't feel like we're where we're supposed to be. Conflict and vindication, this idea that when we see injustice, we don't get sad, we get angry, and we won't rest until we do something about it. Emptiness and fulfillment, condemnation and forgiveness and suffering and endurance. And so today, we're going to talk about the third one, this concept of emptiness and fulfillment. And it answers that key question that we started with. It answers the question, do I matter? When you're feeling empty, when you're feeling lesser than, that's the question you're asking yourself all the time. Do I matter? Is what I'm doing making a difference? And how do I get fulfilled in that feeling? How do I actually get to that place? In Judges 6:15, Gideon is having a conversation with God. Gideon is being called to lead a group of people into battle, and he does not feel like he's the right guy for the job. And during this conversation, he says, "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I am the least. My clan is the weakest, and I am the least. I am so insignificant. I don't really matter at all. I don't see how anybody could have a use for me. I just don't get it. I've had people tell me that, but it just doesn't land for me." And so the problem here, the problem that people with this worldview have, is that they don't feel significant. It's this feeling of insignificance. I don't know if any of you have had that, maybe in moments before. Maybe for you or somebody you know, it looks like somebody saying, well, if they really knew me, if they really knew who I was, I don't think they'd actually like me. Maybe it's somebody who has a feeling that says, you know, I see other people and they seem to be happy with what they have, but that just doesn't feel good enough for me. And I feel like I'm not grateful, or maybe I should feel better, but there's just something still empty in there. Others seem to have this thing, but I can't get a handle on it. Or maybe people would say, you know, it's really better for me to remain invisible. Maybe it's better to stay in the shadows, because at least if you're in the shadows, you're invisible, you're in the room. But if anybody noticed me, they'd notice that I was here. They'd see who I was, and they would ask me questions. to leave. And this can happen in a handful of ways. It can happen right from when you're a kid and you're grown up and you're taught that you're just not as important. It could be a major life event. It could be a divorce. It could be a missed promotion. It could be you watching somebody else experience something and you wishing you had a part of it. It could be childbirth. It could be the need for you to have to actually slow down and think and reflect about your life. If you're busy, you never really have a chance to worry about it. But as soon as you slow down, you have 5 minutes to think, you go, oh, where do I actually fit? And most people cope with this. Most people hide it with the securities that they surround themselves with. People can go through their entire lives feeling insignificant, but surrounding themselves with things on the outside that make them look secure, so that it sort of hides the insecurity that they have on the inside, right? If how I'm really feeling is hidden behind my possessions or behind the people I'm around, then nobody's really going to know who I am. And this is really tough. And I've met people and know people that view themselves this way, and it's heartbreaking because you want to look at that person, you want to go, you really matter. You make a difference. You're here for a purpose, and I don't know how to make you feel that way, and I've tried to share the gospel, and I've tried to tell you what I know, but it just doesn't seem to matter. And the problem, the way people in this world feel can just be described as ache. They just ache. They just hurt. It's just there. It's like a cloud. Sometimes it's a little one. Sometimes it's a big one, but it's just, it's there. And one of the biggest challenges, I think, especially for people who are in the faith already, is that we hear all the time of all of the things that Jesus did for us. We see the examples, we read the parables, we know the stories. And so we have trouble with something like this. This concept that it's really hard to love others as yourself when you don't first love yourself. We hear we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself, but people with this worldview, with a problem of insignificance, just feeling empty, just can't fill that void, they go, I would love to love other people the way I love myself, but I have no idea how to do that. For these people, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's actually indifference. The opposite of love isn't hate, doesn't really matter. There's four Greek words for love in Scripture, and agape is the one we seem to use the most. That's the all-encompassing one, the one that everybody loves. It's like full love for everyone. But eros is the word for loving yourself, and that's the one that people struggle with here. One of those things, and I'm going to tread here, but I think it's going to be okay. One of those things that maybe we don't talk about enough because I think there's a lot of guilt around this or there's stigma around it and we're just not sure how to deal with this is actually when people have kids. More specifically, when women go from women to moms or women to wives. This is a moment that can happen, and people can slip into this. There's a quote, again, from this book that I'm reading, and it says, she holds her identity as she's prepared to attract the man whose name she'll be known by, whose status she'll be defined by, whose accomplishments she will be known by, whose children she will be associated by. There's this amazing thing that happens when you have kids, which is you get to birth this amazing child and raise them up and love them and care for them and baptize them. But also, as parents, there's this thing that happens where your whole world sort of shifts. And if I've learned anything, it's that my world shifted a bit, but I can't figure out how to get into the brain of somebody who's birthed the child whose life shifted a lot more. And again, you're held to this whole new thing. It's like I had this whole life and now it's different. And I'm told that it's supposed to matter and it does and I care about this a lot, but But it just, there feels like there's something missing. And we've talked about this in the first 2 weeks. In Worldview 1, in this separation and reunion, we've talked about the importance of knowing the truth. We need to know that even though we're separated from God, we will be reunited. The peace comes in understanding how the world works so that we can piece ourselves into it and feel comfortable within it. In World 2, in this idea of conflict and vindication, we want to change the truth of the world. The truth of the world right now is there's a lot of injustice and there's a lot of unrest and there's people who are living in situations they shouldn't be living in. And we're not happy until we change that. For people who are feeling insignificant, for people that are feeling empty, for people don't know how to go, for them, it's not to know the truth, it's not to change the truth, it's actually to become a part of it. It's to be a part of God's family, to realize, actually, I'm an important part of this family. I'm a meaningful part of this world. I need to become a part of this story because right now I feel like I'm in the corner watching it happen. I'm not actually involved. And I feel like if I got involved, nobody would want me there anyway. The longing here is to know what's going on. The longing here is to change it. But the longing for somebody who's feeling insignificant is they actually have to feel like they can become a part of it. And so who is Jesus to somebody who doesn't feel significant enough? What's the representation of Jesus? Jesus is the model. Jesus is the example. Jesus is the one who came down to live just like you, to show you that you mattered. Jesus left heaven behind to live alongside you because you were worth it. We're about to head into Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday. Today signifies the day where Jesus rides into town on a donkey, and it's a great big celebration, and everybody's happy that he's here, but in just a few days, Jesus will be crucified in a brutal manner. And for every whip and every chain and every drop of blood and every sleepless moment and every moment of pain, Jesus came and went, "You're worth it. This is significant because you're significant." And so for a person in this worldview, connection to God's love comes through Christ, comes through the example that we have. Christ came to the world to show somebody who doesn't feel like they matter that they do simply by leaving the heavenly throne and making his way down and going, "I'm going to leave the power behind and I'm going to walk shoulder to shoulder with you so that I can empathize, so that I can feel, so that you can see how this went for me, so I can see how it went for you, so that I can show you the way so we can do this arm in arm together." Jesus could have not done that. But by doing that, he shows us that we're important, that we matter, that insignificance is the furthest example of how he feels about you. In John 10:10, it says, "I have come that they may have life and life to the full." Jesus wants your life to be full. He wants your life to be fulfilled. He wants you to feel significant, like you matter. So what's the good news for people in this world? Well, the good news is that Christ fills that void. Is that you can try to fill it, and we've all done it, and there are moments where we know better, and we try it anyways. We try to fill it with stuff, or with people, or with things, or with accomplishments, or with degrees, or with whatever. And the amount of people that you've seen that have had lots from a worldly perspective and have said, I had it all and there was still a void. It just didn't feel like it was all there. Something was missing. Paul in Philippians put it this way. We covered this a few weeks ago. He said, "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord." Just before this, the Apostle Paul, who's traveling all around the Mediterranean rim teaching people how to be Christians for the very first time, this first generation of people who followed Christ, he had a pretty cushy, good, important life. He was well-educated. He was well-known. And he went, "I found out that everything that I thought mattered didn't once I met Jesus. And I think we run into people that way that just go, I just don't get how I fit. Yeah, I know. Because the one thing you're built for and the biggest piece of significance that you could ever cling on to isn't something that you know about yet. So why do you have hope if you're in this worldview? Well, the hope comes in the idea that Jesus came and said, you're enough. The good news in this worldview is that Jesus came because you matter. When people have a worldview of separation, they go, I just need to get back to where I know I belong. This group of people goes, I don't know that I belong anywhere. And so when we think about how to share the gospel message and how to talk about Jesus, we've said this over and over and over and over again, and I will continue to say it. It's really important. It's really important to know your content. It's really important to know your scripture. It's important to know the stories. And it's really helpful when you can point to something in the Bible that solidifies what you're saying. But if you don't know who you're talking to and what they're going through, there's a great chance that all of that knowledge you have is just going to fall flat because you haven't presented it in a way that somebody's going to hear it. And so we're going to sing here for a second, just a couple of verses. And then I'm going to come back. And we're going to talk about maybe how to share this message with somebody who might be struggling with insignificance, with not feeling like they matter, in a worldview that says, I don't know where I fit. I think where I fit is just off in the shadows. So let's pray together. God, thank you for coming to earth to show us the way, to show us why we mattered. Thank you for stories that we have, like the lost sheep, where you show us that there's a herd of 100, but when one goes missing, you go after that sheep, that person, because just because almost everybody's there isn't good enough. The one person that's off to the side still needs your love and your attention. Or God, the story of the lost coin, a person who has almost all of their money but is missing one coin and will tear everything upside down to find it, in the same way that you will tear everything upside down to make sure that we're found. Lord, I know that there are people that don't understand that, that don't feel that way, that are struggling with it, that are trying to find themselves on earth without looking to who you are in heaven. And Lord, I pray that we as a church community would find ways to show people that it's you that makes us whole, that it's you that fills the void, that the good news is that you came here because we mattered enough to come here. Lord, it's very humbling to know that. And we pray that as we live each and every day, that we would do our best to live up to that truth that you've taught us. Amen. You guys can have a seat for a minute. At the end of each one of these messages, what we've been trying to do is maybe put a framework around a conversation as to how to have the gospel message conversation with somebody in this worldview. And so for somebody who's dealing with insignificance, somebody who's feeling like there's a void, that they don't belong, the first thing to do is make sure that you identify that and you see that with somebody. And you're going to be able to do that by people, the way people talk, by the way that they're chasing something. You see that they're always chasing. They're not quite happy. They're unsettled. And it's, hey, how are you doing? And you get into that conversation. They go, I just don't know what to do. And you could say, you know what? Well, I don't know if this is going to help you or not. But one of the places that I have found this in the most is in Jesus. And I know that that might sound weird, but just hang with me for a second, because here's what I know as the truth. I know that God created this world and all of us in it to be in relationship with him, to be perfect. And even though it isn't anymore, because we sort of ran away from that and we messed it up, what God's intention was for us to always feel like we made a difference right from the beginning story of Adam and Eve and their purpose of multiplying and creating humanity and naming animals and caring for the world, whether it's stories of people through Scripture of building things that they had no sense or should have been able to build, whether it's people that led people into battle that had no earthly reason to do that. You can pull whatever story you think you want, but the idea here is to look at somebody and go, I can see that you're struggling with insignificance. Here is a question. You've tried all of this stuff. Have you ever thought that you were made for more than just acquiring things and getting the people around you to like you more? Have you ever tried something different other than, well, if I just make a little bit more, if I have a few more friends, if I get a little bit more stuff, if I try to fill my life with all of these things, then I keep chasing. And then I jump on Instagram and I see 10 people that have more than me. I feel bad about myself and I feel like I'm in the race again. Here's why, even though I'm tempted to feel that way sometimes, I don't feel that way. It's because I know I matter, not because of the stuff that I have. I know that I matter because of who God made me as and what He teaches me to be. I know that I'm special, that I'm intentionally put here. That's a piece that I have. Can I talk to you about that? Can I talk to you about my journey of how I got from where you were to where I am now? Can I talk to you about how in the moments that I still feel like I should be in the shadows and insignificant, that God is able to pull me out? The thing about sharing the gospel message with people, and I've had a couple of people, and it's just fun. It's just one of those things. I've had people come up to me over the last few weeks and go, oh man, like, can you come to work with me? You just say it so nicely. Okay, one, that's my job. I practice saying it nicely. It'd be bad if I couldn't. Two, it's a lot less about the words that you put together and how beautifully you wordsmith it and just knowing the concepts. Knowing that Christ died because you mattered is a lot more important than knowing how to articulate it beautifully. People aren't looking for a novel, they're looking to matter. If you can show them that, then that's going to be the step that they're looking for. You're going to run into people this week that are having this problem. And I pray that you get the opportunity to share this truth with them, that the void that they don't know how to fill or that they've been trying to fill for their life, or they just don't feel like they matter, they don't feel significant, that you're going to get the opportunity to go, you know what? You actually matter a lot, and not just to me, but to the one who created you, who made you perfect, who looks after you, who longs to be in relationship with you, and who sent His Son to die just to prove it. And if you know that person, and they're not doing anything next weekend, see if you can get them here. I'll try to tell them again. But I will pray that you have the opportunity to do that this week, that you'll have the words and the wisdom and the boldness to see that and to have those conversations. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to head out for the day. God, thanks so much for the opportunity and the responsibility that we have to share your message. God, the opportunity that we have to be saved by you, to be loved by you and cared by you, and Lord, the responsibility that we have to share that great news with others. And I just pray that as we run into people with different worldviews and different life experiences, that you would open our eyes to what people are going through so that we know the words to speak and what to say, that the Holy Spirit would fill us, that it wouldn't actually be our words at the end of the day, that it would be you that works through us to reach somebody new with your truth. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stick around. We'll start our meeting in about 10 or 15 minutes. God bless you. Have a great morning. Make sure you're here for pancakes or whatever we're eating on Friday. Have a great day.